Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Pink University Blog Talk Radio Program, where we reignite your passion, your purpose, and your play. Find us at www.hotpinkyou.com. Take it away, ladies.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Blog Talk Radio Hot Pink University Life Class. I'm Christy Bemis, and I'm so happy to be here with you today. I am off location of my normal studio, and so I'm a little bit out of my comfort zone here in the beautiful upstate New York on a beautiful fall morning, and that is my studio for the next couple of weeks as I broadcast from the road. And I'm so glad that you are here with me and that you're spending a little bit of your time in life to take this life class on an empath guide to, let's say, survival in this world that often can be a really harsh place for an empath or a person who's sensitive to be moving about. Today, we're going to be covering all kinds of things around empathy. And so this is your episode if you have often been called in life too sensitive. I'm here to help support you to talk a little bit about where that's coming from in your brain and what are some of the downsides potentially to being an empath in life, but also what are some of those superpowers that are created for you by being an empath in your life. And more importantly, how can you really take care and safeguard your empathic nature? I'm Christy Bemis, author, speaker, and psychotherapist, as well as an Ignite Your Life coach, sex educator, and relationship coach. I co-founded Hot Pink University many, many years ago, over a decade ago now. And now I am a solo owner and founder and runner of Hot Pink University, launching this series of life classes on a variety of topics to support your passion, your purpose, and your play in life. These classes last anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes in length, and I encourage you to grab a pen and grab your journal because we always dive in deep, and I feel like I'm super generous in giving you all kinds of tools and tips that you can write down in your journal. And so whether you're listening to this live or you're taking it in on a recording, you are joining over 1,000 other people who are listening to Hot Pink University Life Classes. We just launched over 1,000 listeners, and I'm super excited about that, 1,000 all-time listeners to our program. So wonderful and welcome, and I'm so glad you're here today. Let's dive in. So this is an empath guide to life. Maybe you've heard the phrase, in your lifetime, you need to toughen up. You're just too sensitive. Maybe if you loosened up, don't be so serious. Or one of my all-time favorites, smile. Smile more. And how about you need to thicken your skin? Too sensitive, right? And for many of us, men and women, this is seen as a weakness and that somehow you could prevent this and you alone are the cause for disruption in your own life. And oftentimes, the disruption is actually for the other person because you being so sensitive makes them feel uncomfortable. And we've talked about this before in other life classes where when a person is giving you kind of unsolicited advice or telling you how to show up differently, what they're really saying is, I'm feeling uncomfortable around you. You need to do something to change to make me feel more comfortable. And this is true even for the empaths and those sensitive people. How do I know this? I myself am a very high empath person. I feel things differently than other people feel them. I'm very sensitive to sound, to noises, to bright lights, things like that. If you come to my home in the evening, I literally have maybe one light on and sometimes just candles lit. I love kind of snuggling into an evening without any interruption, whether that's going to be over a great book or watching a TV show. Quietness and downtime is where I get my energy back. And for many empaths, introversion follows right alongside of it. They're like first cousins to each other. But there are extroverted empaths too, and we can talk a little bit about that. But today, what I want to focus on is we already know all the downsides of being sensitive. We are taken and looked at as being too serious and all kinds of things regarding our own sensitivity to a person's harsh tones or their words. You know, a person's words can cut us like a knife through butter, a hot knife through butter. And so we know all the downsides already. But today I really want to emphasize how sensitivity is really your superpower. So we're going to be ending our program today with how is being an empathic your actual superpower in this world. Let's talk a little bit about, to start out, what is empathy? And empathy is really about being able to sit in another person's pain, in another person's life, in another person's shoes. Let's look up what is empathy. Like, the definition really is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. So in many ways, all of us are somewhat empathic. We can understand or feel another person's pain. We have the capacity to kind of put ourselves in their position. And so to be a human being oftentimes is being empathic, you know, and having empathy towards somebody. And I think Brené Brown has done an exceptional amount of work. And if you haven't watched the empathy versus sympathy video that she's done with, I think it's like a billy goat and a bear, it's super powerful to watch. What is the difference between lending somebody sympathy and extending like a sympathetic response versus the truest form of empathy, which is sitting alongside somebody and even to the point of there are no words, but just holding that person in energetic space with you and feeling their feelings. And I think there is an art form to this, and some of us are better at it than others. But highly empathic people is really kind of where we're talking about. For some people, being highly empathic also means that you're emotionally contagious, meaning you catch other people's emotions, similar to catching a virus. If somebody were to sneeze, you'd all of a sudden get a cold. If somebody has an emotion, you actually can catch it pretty easy. The other day I was walking around Target with my daughter, and there was two disabled men that were being spoken to by the security officer. And I was walking with my daughter, and we overheard the security officer questioning these two men, and a father down another aisle was being questioned, and apparently one of the men had hit his daughter, the younger daughter, who was maybe seven or under, in the back of her head and also part of the front of her face, and there was a mark on it. And I watched my daughter immediately crumble in hearing that. I could see her emotionally tears start welling up in her eyes. And my daughter is 18 and highly empathic, sensitive soul, incredibly intuition-driven in who she is altruistically as a person. And I could see her feeling the feelings of, one, the father as he was, you know, angrily and upsettingly, rightly so, talking about how these men, you know, had come up and one of them had been triggered by something and had hit her. And so I could feel the feeling she was having for the little girl. But also, being a highly empathic person, I could feel the feels that my daughter was having, as I was having them too, towards these two men, you know, being in Target without a caregiver with them and trusting, you know, that they are doing potentially the best that they can do in life. And this was it, you know. And so the whole situation was icky. The whole situation was off. And my daughter, being the empath that she is, was totally triggered by that whole situation. It took us, you know, probably a good 30 minutes that afternoon to kind of get rid of that feeling that we were feeling and having as we walked by and witnessed this experience. And that's what truly emotional contagion is that you pick up effectively, AFFECT, you pick up effectively a person's perspective. And it's actually rooted in interesting parts of our brain, the anterior cingulate cortex and the insula. And we talk about the insula as being a part of our brain that's highly connected to intuition. And oftentimes, estrogen-oriented brains, often called female brains, but I like to call them estrogen-oriented brains because we all have a variety, men and women, of different levels of estrogen and testosterone that impact different parts of our brain at different developmental stages. And so if you have a highly estrogen-oriented brain, you have a potential to have a higher attribution to the insula part of our brain, which is all around intuition, gut feelings, trusting your gut, the hair on the back of your neck. All of that is highly associated with an active insula. And for empathy, our mirror neurons. If I go to stub my toe right now and wince and grope down at my toe, you're also going to have the same reaction in your face. You're going to pinch up your eyes and wince with me because you can feel my pain. Your mirror neurons, just like my neurons are firing with pain, your mirror neurons are firing with the same amount of pain. You might not be feeling the actual physical pain, but you know it. You can sense it. And so you're fired as well. Highly empathic people are often incredibly non-judgmental people. They can really take on a person's perspective. And Judith Orloff has a great book out there called The Empath Survival Guide, which I think is a great resource for empaths. And I also want to look up, this is another great book is Christiane Northrup's Dodging Energy Vampires, an Empath's Guide to Evading the Relationships That Drain You and Restoring Your Health and Power. Super valuable, two great valuable resources of dealing with people who really can just drain you as an empath in this world. The side effect of not taking care of yourself is that you do absorb the stress of the world, and it can lead to exhaustion, anxiety, fear of large crowds, social anxiousness around people. And it can drain our energy so that we can't be as effective. On the shadow side of when empathy goes wrong, meaning when an empath is taken advantage of or done wrong in life, it can lead to actually the opposite, which is apathy, where that person shuts down and shuts off their empathy centers because it's just too much. And so they move to this other side of the track, which is apathy and coldness. and walls up and armoredness in relationship. And so this is why it is so important for empaths to take incredibly good care of themselves and to have a self-care plan in place so that your empathy remains intact and safeguarded as a good and important natural resource to you. The other piece of the brain that's often impacted by empathy is that empaths, what we're finding in research, need a smaller amount of dopamine to feel good, which means I can have this one-on-one interaction with somebody and feel great. I don't need a large gathering or a large crowd or a large group of people in order to feel good or in my happy place. In fact, the preference would be one-on-one interactions versus large social situations. And large or overstimulating situations can sometimes be an energy drain. A couple months ago, I went to a pool party that an incredible woman in town was throwing. And there was, I want to say, anywhere from 60 to maybe even 90 women there. It was fun. The music was going. There was a professional DJ there. There was food and snacks. On one end of the yard, there was a bin filled with like body clay that you could slather the clay all over yourself and then let it dry and have like your pores detoxed and then shower off. On another side, there was a hot tub that you could climb up into, a pool in the middle of the area, and then a dance floor off to another side with other activities going on. And it was fun. And after 2 hours, it was absolutely overwhelming to me. I remember at one point completely disengaging from any of the women I was talking to and sitting on a bench and just taking it all in and being an observer. It was fun. And I was done. And that's the thing around empathy is we often can get charged in a crowd, but what we need after that then is a complete, utter alone evening and discharge from all of the activity, all of the commotion that was happening. And that's what I did. I ended up getting on my bike and going home and enjoying this beautiful like trip around the lake for 45 minutes alone on my bike, but also just the quietness of the shelteredness of my house and regrouping. So what are the superpowers? What are empaths really good at? And this is where I want you to take out your pen and your paper and think about this for yourself. If you are an empath or a sensitive person and you're listening to this, or you have somebody like maybe a child that you're raising that is, or a best friend, like this is what we're good at. This is our superpower. We are great at cultivating curiosity in relationships, in conversation. So remember I talked about the one-on-one as being like the best case scenario for me? Yes, 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 yes. If I can get to know one person out of 10 at a party, deeply and dig that one well, really well, it will be an amazing time spent. I want to know you deeply. Superficial surface conversations can be a little boring actually and don't really get my dopamine kind of going. But a one-on-one where I'm really getting to know you in a very curiously inquisitive way feels so amazing to me. And I leave there with what feels like a new connection. Whether I see you again or not, that's not the big thing, but I know something about human kindness now or human beings that I didn't know before as I dove into this like really incredible conversation with you. So empaths are great at cultivating curiosity in relationships. They're also really great at knowing people on a deeper level. And so they pick up little cues and little things about somebody. They know that you mentioned a couple months ago that your birthday would be falling on the middle of that we're all getting together. And so they're going to remember like that little detail and really getting to know you and really getting to know a person's like love language too, how they feel best cared for. Do they feel like they need physical affection, verbal affection, gifts, acts of service, quality time? And I'd like to add the sixth love language, which is space. Because as an empath, that sixth love language, when my partner gives me space, amazing, I feel incredibly loved. To be able to have a house to myself, an evening to myself, to have the bed sometimes to myself where I can just like curl up and read a book. Well, maybe you're in the other room watching TV. Awesome. That's like a total love language for me, and it makes me feel really full. And that's true for a lot of empaths. We need that sixth love language, which is called space, to regroup, recharge, recalibrate our system, our nervous system. Also, empaths, the superpower is they're observers. They see things. They see behind the scenes. Last week, I got this amazing note. I know it's from a fellow empath. Thank you so very much. Because I was helping support a retreat. And when you're supporting somebody else's work, you're really behind the scenes, but you're like diving in pretty deep. And I take it pretty seriously when I'm supporting somebody else's work. And I'm wanting them to shine, and I'm wanting their work to like be the highlight. I am doing a lot of things, but it's very under the surface behind the scenes. An empath will see me do that work because it's subtle. It's like a fly on the wall kind of work. It's like not taking credit. It's making sure the person that is in charge is getting all the credit for the work. But this person wrote me this beautiful note, and they're like, behind the scenes, I saw you. I saw how you held this together. I saw how you did this. I saw, and she brought out like little details of what she was able to see me do. Empaths can do that because they're watching and they're seeing things that other people that are not as highly empathic can't see. And that's amazing. And that's a superpower. That note made me feel like $1 million that day. And so empaths observe. They also listen actively and deeply. You'll see an empath often deeply, deeply present and holding space for a person. I never knew what that meant until probably around 2010 when I went on this trip to Vietnam. I always knew that I could like feel another person's energy and stuff. But what I really observed were these dyads of women that would sit on like a bench, let's say, and they'd have their heads together and they would just deeply, deeply be listening and tuning into what that person was saying and not even like experiencing anything else out there. It was amazing because I grew up in a house where my mom was a great listener, but often often would be moving her hands, whether she was making a pie or making the beds or cleaning something. There was very little like tuned in time. And for an empath, that's hard. We want like tuned in, eye contact, breathing together, sometimes even co-regulating. And so we are deep listeners. We are present. We can hold space. Oftentimes, empathy goes hand in hand with great imagination and creativity as well. It just is like where those neural pathways are super connected. And empaths make great creative, critical thinkers. Because with critical thinking, you're actually required to see the other side of the aisle. You are required to see if you're a Democrat, the Republican's point of view. You are required as a critical thinker to see all sides of a perspective and be able to really critically think through a situation. And so empaths can do that because of the mirror neurons that are firing and where those neural pathways are connecting to. Oftentimes, they make really good critical thinkers and perspective takers. We're going to end our time together. We only have a couple minutes left with how do you take care of yourself then? What is self-care for empaths and sensitive souls? Number one is your own wellness is your number one priority. And that doesn't always happen for empaths. We become, in the shadow side of things, we can move into martyrdom or victim stance often, meaning, woe is me, I'm doing all of these things for somebody else and they're not doing anything for me. And I'm here to tell you, empaths, stop, take care of yourself, your wellness is priority. Only your overflow should go to other people, not your empty cup. I'm going to repeat that. Only your overflow and what you have overflowing your cup goes to others, not coming forward with an empty cup. And that means maybe having creative outlets too. So number two, having creative outlets, whatever that might be for you, whether that's painting or writing or creating, having creative outlets for empaths is key and super valuable and super important. The other, third, is asking yourself this question. I am feeling some energy here. Is it mine or somebody else's? Especially if you're in a crowd or with other people and you're feeling energy. I shared with you the Target store episode. That energy that my daughter was feeling in that moment was not her own. It was somebody else's energy. It was the sorrow of the father, the fear of the little girl, and the empathy towards these gentlemen who are disabled and have a hard time going out in public situations, especially without a caregiver, and what that was for them to be one questioned by security and then later have the police come up and serve them an arrest, you know, what that felt like for them. So what energy, whose energy am I feeling right now? And if it's not yours and you don't have your full cup, how can you disconnect? How can you create a disconnect right now so that you can fill your cup full? And how can you make sure that the emotion that person is feeling is not a virus and going to be contagious? So oftentimes what that looks like is we can walk out of a meeting and have one experience in the meeting, and then all of a sudden a coworker might say to us, oh, yeah, can you believe she said that and that they're going to do this with that new policy? And you may not have felt any of that, but now all of a sudden you're susceptible to the contagiousness of the emotion that somebody else is feeling. And as an empath, you have to buffer yourself even more so with that. We're all susceptible to emotional contagion. Empaths at a higher rate, however. Number four is checking in with yourself and having some kind of grounding ritual. My feet are on the ground. What are three things I can see right now, right in front of me? What are three things I can hear right now around me? What are three things I can reach out and touch right now? Grounding rituals can help support your energy and can help you disconnect when you need to. Five, take a social media or a news break. We need break from the contagious world around us. And so scheduling those breaks for yourself. And number five, I think we're on, schedule nothingness, a day of nothingness. What would that look like for you? Six is create an alter ego. If you had an alter ego that was superpower empath, what shield would you have? Would you have like Wonder Woman cuffs, or would you have a giant steel shield that would shield you? There's also two others that I want to end on, boundary work for yourself and creating a safe space in your home for you, if not your entire home, a safe space that's just for you to do the work to unplug. And body work, getting massage done, touch, all of those things. This is how we take care of ourselves as empaths. As we wrap up our time today, I just want to say a big thank you for showing up today, for showing up for yourself, for investing in your time and your energy and being here today. I am honored. And I just want to remind you to find me at www.hotpinkyou.com. This was another great 30 minutes. And there'll be another show next week, broadcasting from the road in upstate New York. I'm Christy Venus, and I'm so thankful to have you.